Well, so friends, even though you are not sitting here in the pews this morning to share with me, I am curious to know if you took the opportunity when the scripture was read, if you took that opportunity to think about those words and phrases that resonated with you. Some of you have shared those in the comments section of our Facebook page, and you can feel free to keep doing that. But I wonder what stood out to you. What is God speaking to you this morning? Open up your Bibles again with me if you haven't had the chance, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. It is the evening of Easter. Mary Magdalene has shared that she has seen the Lord. And where are these disciples of Jesus, but all gathered up together in one place? What stood out to you? What phrases? How about this one? They were afraid. Does that resonate with any of us this morning? Or maybe you connected with some of those words that Jesus spoke this morning. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Happy are those who don't see and yet believe. Or maybe this morning you find your voice lining up with the voice of Thomas, either when he says, you know, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. Or maybe it's later on when he says, my Lord and my God, in this amazing, brief, yet so powerful confession of faith. Maybe it's those final words that the author of this gospel absolutely gifts us with when he reminds us that the things that are written in this gospel are written so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, is God's Son, and that believing we might have life in the name of Jesus. My goodness, friends, we have such a powerful, meaningful, relevant scripture in front of us today. And I wonder if you, like me, find that so many of these words, so many of these phrases stand out and resonate in these days. Because although the circumstances of this global pandemic are what have led us to shelter in place, which is granted vastly different than the reasons that the disciples are shut in behind closed and locked doors, friends, how many of us right now can yet identify with all of that anxiety that comes from the unknown? From the distress that simply rises up within us when we fear for our very lives and for the lives of our loved ones. This day, perhaps like me, you are longing to hear Jesus offer words of peace. Not passive or false peace, but true, active, shalom-style peace that brings wholeness and health and life, not only to us, but to everyone. Perhaps, like me, you are longing for Jesus to empower us with the Holy Spirit that we might be sent as he was sent to share God's peace with others in new and unique ways given our world right now. Perhaps, like me, you are longing for Jesus to simply show up for you, to show up for others, just as Thomas desired him to do in this tangible, in this real way. And perhaps, like me, maybe you feel a little bit more connected with these disciples this day. These dear friends of Jesus who are trying to make sense of their world that has simply been turned upside down, knowing that trusting Christ is always the very best way to walk faithfully through it all, yet naming how newly challenging and overwhelming it all is right now. Friends, If we, like these dear disciples, find ourselves prone to give in to fear and doubt, then I am here to tell you that there is good news for us today. This scripture reminds us that Christ is with us, Christ is for us, and Christ will never stop offering peace and life to us, even and especially in our darkest and most difficult moments. So this morning, I invite you to walk with me and these first through disciples through this extremely challenging and destabilizing time in their lives. And I pray that we might all see how God in Christ shows up for them and for us. All right, so walk with me. It's that first Easter evening for these disciples, but remember with me some of the events of the past months that have led them to this moment in this room. Remember, these are people who have left everything in order to follow Jesus. They've been traveling all over the countryside with him. They have been learning from him. They've watched him heal hundreds of people. They see him as their teacher, their friend, their leader. They are still learning what it means to see him as their Lord and their Savior. But this past month for them in particular, it must have been one of the most tumultuous of their lives. They've experienced firsthand how the religious and political leaders see Jesus as a threat. About a month ago, they watched Jesus raise a man, Lazarus, from the dead. Just 1 week ago for them, they were parading into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to a crowd that was praising Jesus as the Messiah, calling him the one who was the Savior of their oppressed people. And just days ago, they would have shared a Passover meal, the Last Supper with Jesus, that time when he washed their feet and he spoke all those words to them, telling them to love other people the way that he loved. And then that night, they would have gone with him into the garden as he cried out to God. They stood there and they fell asleep, some of them. They didn't really understand what was happening. And then they saw their friend Judas betray Jesus. And then they disappeared. And they deserted him. And they denied him. And Jesus was crucified by those in power. And his dead body was laid in a tomb. And it was only that very morning, that very first Easter morning, that they would have heard these wild rumors of the body of Jesus gone missing from the tomb. And this testimony of Mary that she has seen the risen Lord. Friends, as I walk through these events in my mind, you know, it is not hard for me to imagine how these disciples must be struggling to know what to believe and who to trust and how to make sense of it all. Yet it is into this reality, it is into this very difficult and confusing time for the disciples that Jesus comes. Jesus shows up. And nothing will stop him. Not a locked door, not the fear of the disciples. No earthly authorities are able to keep him out. Jesus shows up. And when he does, what does he speak to these restless, traumatized, dear and precious children of God? But peace be with you. It's like you can almost hear the echoes of the words he would have spoken to them just a few nights earlier after they shared that Last Supper. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Peace be with you. My, how we need to hear these words of peace, that the first thing, the very first thing the resurrected Christ would speak to us in our distress is peace. And again, this is not that kind of peace that is passive or oblivious to pain and suffering, but it is a peace that is active, one that generates wholeness and completeness and fullness of life. That is the shalom, the salam, the peace that we know in Christ. The peace of Christ is not feeble or small or easy. It is powerful and it is big and it is life-giving to all who receive it. And here today we learn that it is particularly transformative for those who are struggling with fear and anxiety, with questions and disbelief. And yet, in our scripture today, Jesus does not stop with mere words. The way that Jesus shows up for the disciples is fundamentally incarnational. It is physical. It is real. It's this full experience as he shows the disciples the wounds on his hands and on his side. And this is so important for our scripture this morning because remember that for whatever reason, we don't really know why, but Thomas is not with the disciples in this first encounter with Christ. And as some of you may know, unfortunately, Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rap in Christian tradition, doesn't he? You've heard the phrase before. He's called Doubting Thomas, seemingly for his desire to see the wounds of this resurrected Christ. But friends, pay attention to how Scripture describes Jesus showing up for the disciples, and then 8 days later, how Jesus shows up for Thomas in pretty much the exact same way. Speaking peace, and being more than willing to show his scars, whatever it takes, it seems, to help his friends understand that this risen Jesus who shows up despite locked doors is the same Jesus who was crucified mere days beforehand. And we'll go into that a bit more in just a minute, but perhaps it is sufficient to say now that maybe we've mislabeled Thomas for simply wanting to see what all of the other disciples have already seen. Still, as we go back to that verse 20, right, we learn that when the disciples see Jesus and they are filled with joy, how does Jesus respond to them? What does he do yet again? He speaks peace to the disciples, reminding them that just as God the Father sent Jesus the Son, so Jesus is sending the disciples, reminding them that it's his purpose to repeat this prayer for peace as a way to remind them that their own mission, their own task, their own way of being in the world from this day forward is one in which they are going to need that peace of Christ. That active, transforming, restorative peace of Christ, so that they can be the best disciples that Jesus has called them to be in this newly unfolding reality in which they find themselves. So the words of Jesus in this Easter evening first encounter with the disciples go something like this: peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And then this Easter evening scene ends as quickly as it began. And it's not really clear if Jesus disappears or if he sticks around for a while, but the next verse will move us a full week, 8 full days into the future. Yet this first encounter the risen Christ has with a room full of disciples allows us to see that Jesus shows up for those who need to see him, to hear from him, to be breathed on by him, to receive the Holy Spirit and empowered with a renewed call, a renewed purpose and mission in the world to bring the love of God to others, though they are all locked up in fear right now. Jesus is faithful to show up and empower them with what they need so they can share God's grace and salvation, God's unconditional love with this world that so desperately needs it. That's actually what it means to be sent out to forgive the sins of others. You see, as Dr. Elizabeth Johnson explains to us, sin in John's gospel is not primarily a moral category. Rather, it is fundamentally unbelief. Sin is the refusal to receive the revelation of God in the person of Jesus. So Jesus is not giving his disciples some kind of special power to decide whose sins will be forgiven and whose will not. No, he's getting very specific. He's further specifying for them what it means to be sent, to make known the love of God that Jesus himself has made known. The original Greek here indicates that as people come to know and abide in Jesus, then that's when they are released from their sins. But if those who are sent by Jesus fail to bear witness, then people will remain stuck. Those sins are not released. People are stuck in their unbelief. And those sins are somehow held onto. That separation from God is maintained. And so that means this mission that Christ is giving them is one with very high stakes. So the friends, for these disciples, for us, really for all who would follow the risen Christ, we simply must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We simply must be filled with the peace of Christ if we are to share God's liberating and life-giving love in this world, especially in hard days like these, when people need to see God, but even more so when people are struggling to see God. Because if we are honest, then we can admit that, like Thomas, sometimes we too may feel as if God showed up, somehow we missed it. We might hear stories of these dramatic God moments of faith and restoration and grace, and we, like Thomas, are not so much doubting as much as we are naming our deep hope that Jesus might show up for us in that same way. In the case of our scripture today, Jesus does just that. Jesus shows up for Thomas. And he does so precisely as he did for the other disciples. Locked doors cannot keep out his deep love and care for this dear one, Thomas, for all the dear ones who have spent 8 days longer in the dark. Jesus speaks peace and offers his full self to this precious child of God who has named what he needs. Jesus shows up again and again and again to these disciples who need to be reminded of who Christ is, of who they are, of whose they are. And as Jesus responds so patiently and graciously and lovingly to Thomas, just as he empowers the other disciples with a mission to go out, he empowers Thomas and all of us who were not eyewitnesses to the physical resurrection of Christ. He empowers us and compels us and calls us to believe, to try to believe even when we have not seen. And our author reminds us that these words in the gospel are for us because Jesus knows that there will be generations of people like you and me who will be called by God to the purpose and to the mission of bringing the grace of God and the peace of Christ and the love of the Holy Spirit all to people who have not seen and yet will believe. So that, like Thomas, we might cry out, "My Lord and my God." And even when we have not seen, we ask Jesus to show up, and he does. No locked doors, no fear, no pain, no powers or principalities can keep out the love of God we come to know in Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, we are changed. This world is changed. It's transformed, made new, made whole. And we walk around on this earth claiming and living into the peace of Christ, happy when we have those moments where we believe even when we have not seen, recognizing that belief happens, true life happens when we live our lives in love to God and in love to our neighbor, showing up for God's beloved world just like our Savior Jesus is faithful to show up again and again and again. Friends, we are reminded through the gospel this day of how patiently and graciously and lovingly Jesus has shown up for us. How are we showing up for others? This is the question today. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. And we say thanks be to God.